depart from him. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. So there was, obviously, I know that there are some things God isn't going to take away. Now, with regards to sin, I never see it saying like, well, some sins are always going to be with you. I never see that in the scripture anywhere. Sometimes you're going to be a sinner in some way. I mean, God's always going to leave one sin to keep you humble. I never see that. If he took away all my sin and I wasn't humble, then I'd still have one more sin to deal with, wouldn't I? Pride. Lack of humility. God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Hereby we know that we are in him. That's how we know. Because we keep his word, the love of God is perfected in us. Now we know we're in him. Otherwise, there's questions. Really. Until I see that perfect work, I question. I want to make my calling and election sure. The Apostle Peter says, if these certain things abide in you, you will never be barren in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But give diligence to them. What was it? Add your faith virtue to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness kindness, to kindness love. Add all those things together. And if those things are in you, now you have a testimony. You can be, now not that God, you don't need to prove anything to God. Because from the foundation of the world, he has chosen you to salvation. If you are one of his. But you need to prove it to yourself. And even then, by the time you're able to prove it to yourself, you should have learned humility so that you will not be proud and haughty. If you think you've proved it to yourself and you're walking in pride and the folly of your heart and you're blind to it, that's the most pitiable thing I could think of. Now you're just a hypocrite. God has not accepted you. So, make your calling and election sure by performing all the things he says, not by just saying, well, you know, I believed. And now I know I'm upright. I can go around picking the motes out of people's eyes. Christian hypocrisy is the biggest beam people carry in their eyes. Though, actually, technically speaking, Christian hypocrisy, I like to use that term, but it is an oxymoron. It's an oxymoron. The two words should never come together. But there they are. Because people call themselves Christian. Now, I don't know what they are. But they call themselves that. And then I see hypocrisy, I have to call it Christian hypocrisy. But truly, Christian means one who is a little Christ. You know, like Jesus said, you know, a servant cannot be greater than his master, but it is enough that the servant should be as his master. We should be as our master. Again, as in verse 6, the Apostle John, I love this book of John. I could sit here chatting about it with you all day and all night, actually, because it's evening. In verse 6, he had said, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. That means if you say you abide in Christ, well then you ought to walk the way Jesus walked. How did Jesus walk? Did he sin? Or maybe it was referring to he had a particular way of walking? I mean, like some sort of, he hopped every other step? I don't think so. He didn't do the curly shuffle, you know? He had his walk refers to the uprightness. Remember, we walking in the light. Is walking in uprightness, in righteousness, in godliness. He walked with God. That's how we have to walk. We got to walk with him. What, did he just believe and then went and partied? He just believed and told himself, well, I'm going to be a sinner, I guess. He knew no sin. We're supposed to do the same thing, where we know no sin, though there is this past. We can never say we have no sin, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the point is about the future. What are we going to do? What are we reaching forward to? Yeah, I know, even in that, there might be things that come up. And we have an advocate. Someone who wants to take that away. But he does it in us for a purpose. We're not just supposed to be miracle children. You know, we just, look it. I believed and now I have righteousness and perfection and I'm everything in one day. If God wanted to do that, he wouldn't have even bothered making the world. He wants us to be diligent. He wants us to do through all these things he wants to bring us. And it's him in us doing the work. If I have diligence, you know why I'm diligent? It's because God put a spirit in me that I could be diligent. Because if he doesn't, I'd just be slack. Or I could be diligent in evil. That's where my nature would go. I would be swift to run to do evil. In fact, when I got the Holy Ghost, I got a word. That is, you know, there was an effect that I felt, and it came over my feet. The word of God to me was, as your feet have been swift to do evil, they're going to be swift to do righteousness. And I've seen that fulfilled to a degree. I guess not to the degree to which I would be satisfied, you know. If the Lord is satisfied, then I'll be patient and wait for him, but I'd hoped it had been a little swifter than it's been. But, you know what? When I see the things being added to faith that are needful, I greatly rejoice in the work of God. Verse 7. I don't want to get into too much about it. I was going to talk more about patience, but I'm just going to let John teach us a little more here. We got a long chapter to cover, and we've already gone 40 minutes, or 38 and a half. Verse 7, Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Remember in chapter 1 we had looked in the second psalm and discovered that walking in darkness is akin to leaving the paths of uprightness. It is to walk in evil, in sin, in unrighteousness. He's saying, I'm not writing anything new to you. But then again, he says, I am writing something new to you. You know, the commandment that you have heard from the beginning, the old commandment, is the word which you heard from the beginning. Like, you know, this is my commandment, that you love one another. I write you a new commandment, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. The word is past is, I think, in a different tense than it was translated in English. It means passes away. The darkness passes away. And the light already now shines. The light shines and the darkness flees. So as an old commandment and a new commandment.